You're listening to the Fubba Lead Podcast. With Timothy Martin and Connor Bunn.
And welcome into Fubba Lead Season 3, Episode 8. We are NASCAR's number one podcast. Always been that way, always gonna be that way. Connor Bunn, welcome.
What's up?
How's it going?
It's great.
You doing all
right? Everything's great, which is super fitting because we're going back to Phoenix this weekend, where that infamous line was dropped on the media. Yeah, everything's great. Season's flying by, it seems like.
What are really?
Four races in already?
You think the season's flying by?
It seemed like just the other day we were in Daytona.
But, you know, it seems like forever ago since Homestead, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird watching the highlights from that race. Like, wow, I was there. That was already almost 2 weeks ago.
Well, what a show, and again, another shocker. I mean, I guess it's not a shocker, but if you were to say who are the first four drivers to win this season, I probably wouldn't have named, maybe would have named one of them, but not certainly wouldn't have had any more than one in the list.
Yeah, and we all knew Larson was going to win. It was only going to be a matter of time and how fast they could get it together. And let me tell you, every single week they have had a shot to win.
Oh, he could easily have four wins this year.
Yeah, he could easily be 4-0.
That's like Chase and Blaney last year at the beginning of the season. They could have easily won three or four races to start the season off.
Right.
And so congratulations to Kyle Larson for, you know, getting back to victory lane.
So awesome.
I mean, you look at where he was a year ago and now Hendrick Motorsports. And, I mean, I think this is – and we're going to dive into it later in the podcast. I mean, I think this is, and I think the message has been sent. This is the organization to beat this year.
Well, this is the organization, but I mean, it's like pick your driver out of the rotation because all four of them are super strong. All four of them have been up there and led laps this year. So,
and so, I mean, this is a huge deal. And, you know, we got to say to Gabe, who I know that, can you believe that as long as we've been on this, on the air, Gabe's driver has never won until yesterday.
Well, now it's his new driver.
It's his new driver, I know.
Gabe, as you all may know, or for any of you who don't know, was a huge Jimmy Johnson fan. Unfortunately, Jimmy, the last half of his, or not last half, but the last few years of his career, wasn't quite the driver that he was during his time winning all the seven championships. But Larson stepped right in that ride, and now...
Did you watch the video of Gabe watching Larson cross the checkered flag?
I did. That was cool.
Super excited.
Which is cool to see. I'm happy for you, Gabe. Obviously, last week, if you watched the podcast, he sent us some awesome gifts. So the favor was returned to him this week by Larson getting a win. So that's cool. But Gabe, just remember, Jimmy sucked. He couldn't win in that equipment. It's the same team. It's the
same
crew chief. And Larson steps in.
Jimmy sucks.
I'm just kidding. No, I mean, but what's really interesting, and I'll touch on this before we totally dive into Larson and the race, is how fast that he's gelled with Cliff Daniels. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show the only thing missing the first 7 years of his career was the people and the equipment in place because, I mean, he's come out blazing hot.
Yeah, and again, right before we dive, I mean, it's kind of like I feel like I want to ask the question now because you brought it up and I don't want to forget. But do you feel like he's the first 7 years were wasted?
In a sense, yes, I do. But also at the same time, not really, because I feel like he learned a lot. If his first 7 years were at Hendrick, obviously, I think a few of those years or a couple of them, he would have struggled. A, because Hendrick, you know, they weren't as strong as they are right now, kind of towards the time Kyle was getting into the Cup Series, Hendrick was kind of fading back a little bit. That ultimately led to their big recession in 2018 and part of 2019. At the end of last year, they showed so much speed and so much promise with Chase. I mean, you almost knew that they were just going to be a powerhouse this year, getting Larson and stuff. So,
and I think, go ahead.
The fact, as fast as they gelled, and we touched on it last week, and we were driving down the interstate in Miami, and we were like, well, who's the championship favorite? And the first name to my head was Kyle Larson.
I think so. I think that's it.
And for the first time ever, I think I can say that going into every week, I can see Larson winning every, I'm not saying he's going to win every race, but, you know, going to every track every week, I can see Larson, you know, a winner that week. So
that's why Phoenix this weekend is going to be interesting to watch to see how these drivers do because they won't be back to Phoenix until we get to the championship race. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on too. And I love the combination of him and Cliff Daniels.
Oh, Cliff
I think
Daniels
that is
outstanding
a perfect pairing.
Yeah.
And we're finally going to get to see Cliff Daniels shine as a crew chief. And, I mean, I think this is going to be the first of many wins and potentially many championships. May steal some championships from Chase. Don't know how I feel about that. I guess I'm okay with it, and as long as he's not, as long as he doesn't wreck Chase.
If you're gonna get beat, you want it to be in house, right?
Right. That's my thought process with Gibbs.
Because then you can.
If I'm a Brad Keselowski fan, I don't know if I want Joey Logano beating me.
Well, I mean, the rivalry between those two is one thing, but at least you can go and look at the other guy's notebook.
Speaking of Joey Logano and you know, Kyle Busch, you know, our other. Our child, Dalton, who's like a famous now. I mean, he's just getting called out by NASCAR on NBC. And, you know, it's like I can't even get him to return calls or texts anymore. It's like I got to go through people to get to Dalton. And it's just
big name
like,
guy.
You know,
2,000 followers now on Twitter.
Remember the little people.
I remember the time where we could shoot Dalton a DM and he would respond.
I remember when he was born. You know, I remember that moment when he was crying and screaming.
I remember when he was going batshit crazy in driver intros at the Daytona 500.
Yeah, and his mom was, you know, mad about the wind.
It's too windy up here.
It's too windy.
She was just mad about the rental car situation.
So,
but
we know what those situations are like. Just some other things before we dive into NASCAR notes. Have you seen a possum around here? I got a big possum on the loose.
I have not seen a possum.
There's a huge possum outside. I mean, what would you do? Because you used to live here. What would you do if you walked out back and there was a huge possum standing right there looking at you? Would you get scared?
Probably. If it startled me, yeah.
I mean, it did. It
startled
me.
I'm going to be extra careful walking out to my car.
I thought somebody died last night when my daughter came upstairs just hysterical because the possum was outside and it was... So we're dealing with a possum. I've got hoverboards all over the house now. So we've got... Maybe we'll do a podcast where we're both riding hoverboards the whole time.
I don't think one of us would make it out of that alive.
I mean, I've been doing hoverboard races in the garage this weekend. Crash doing that. Get out of that car, Newman.
Get out of that car, Newman.
Oh my God. So that's pretty much what's been going on in my world. Anything new? Anything else new in yours?
No, not really. Relatively quiet week. Just got back from Miami and hung out for a few days and was off work, which was nice, and then.
Back to the grind.
Enjoyed my weekend. Went on a little hike this weekend. The weather was pretty fair.
We're going to head to another one, like 2 or 3 mile hike this weekend.
Yeah, the one that we're hiking this weekend is a good one. I just did a small little one here and around town. And, you know, it was nice just to kind of get out and do something. You always kind of feel bad when the weather's nice out and you don't do anything but lay in. Side all day, and I had every excuse to just lay inside all day, and I tried to convince myself that morning, like, you know, I just got back from out of town, like, it won't be that bad to lay inside, but the weather was too nice and stuff, and I'm glad I did.
Get out of that apartment, Newman.
Yeah, it was fun to get outside, and I don't know, just...
Once you do it, once you start it, it's good.
Yeah, it's like working
it's
out.
Good. You gotta get the motivation to do it. It's like I got the backyard full of leaves, and it's like... Once I get out there and start bagging them, I'm in a zone.
Yeah, I mean, you get in a zone.
And I can just,
like,
you know, I can bag 50 bags of leaves. I'm not exaggerating. There's 100 bags of leaves that need to be bagged in the backyard.
It's like working out. I mean, you just release those endorphins and you just want to keep going and going and going. But, I think I can bag the leaves for you pretty cheap. he also shares the same name as you. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hit him up.
Yeah. Have him come on over and do that, please.
Yeah, might as well.
You can get a couple bags in before I have to start handing out hundreds.
Yeah. Good help's hard to find.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at For The Lead. Tweet us. Follow us on Instagram. Shop our merch. And Gabe, he just sported some new merch, too.
Yeah,
Gabe.
He got that cool hat and the blue hoodie.
Gabe, yeah.
Looks good.
You know, we don't even have any of our own merch yet.
We don't have any of our merch.
We need somebody to buy us merch and send it to us.
No t-shirts, no stickers, no hats. I can't even get a sticker.
God.
Times are tough right now. Spreadshirt doesn't want to send out any of the product to the owners of it.
So, some NASCAR news. Not a lot of NASCAR news happening since the race, of course. We're just early in the week as well, but not a lot of NASCAR news from last week. Although, Natalie Decker has a beef with NASCAR on Fox because I guess they were running through, you know, top or women, recognizing women in motorsports. And she, am I right to still, is it still true that she's the highest finishing female in a truck race ever? Right?
Yeah.
So,
and she's got a case.
Yeah, she does have a case. Did not recognize her. You know, and so she rightfully so called called NASCAR on Fox out on Twitter about that. And, you know, then the crazies chimed in. Yeah. And then we know what happens from there. You know, no win situation, so.
But Claire B. Lang reached out to her and said, I'll make sure to mention that tonight on my radio show. So that was cool, bud.
I mean,
that sucks for her, man.
Okay, love or hate Natalie Decker,
she owns
the stat. So unless, you know, she owns the stat, which nobody else has done. I mean, this superstar Haley Deegan is really putting on a show in the Truck Series so far this year. You know, everybody's all about Haley Deegan, and I've said a lot about, you know, her statistics and how I think her career is going to go. And I don't think at this point she needs to be put ahead of Natalie Decker.
I mean,
Natalie's made a lot of mistakes. Haley's made quite a bit of mistakes.
Haley's crashed every truck she's been in.
Haley hadn't
this
put
year.
Together a race and finished a race. I mean, so good, you know, good for Natalie.
Stand up for yourself.
This news just broke. Potential bombshell for Carl Edwards. Rumors have him running for the Senate in Missouri.
I feel like I heard something about this a few years ago,
but now the Missouri guy's like not running again or retiring or something. So Carl Edwards, he's going to be NASCAR. He's going to be president soon. He's going to be president soon.
Edwards 2024?
Edwards 2024. Wow. I mean, so Edwards could be running for the Senate. I mean, this could be the start of Carl Edwards in the White House.
I still want to know why exactly he stepped out of NASCAR.
Well, you had a conspiracy theory about that.
We're not going to get into it.
You did have a conspiracy theory.
I had a conspiracy
theory. I know the real reason, but I can't say now either.
Yeah.
I think I really know the real reason now, but I can't speak to it. Truck race this weekend.
It was a controversial one.
Really?
Tell you that much? Yeah.
Oh, well, Kyle Busch. Man, did you see his... So Kyle Busch was in the truck race. So you know anytime Kyle Busch is in the truck race, something's got to happen.
Yeah.
And, but... I mean, saying it was controversial because of what Kyle Busch did?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it ultimately changed the outcome of the race.
When did he do that? I'll be honest, I didn't watch the truck race. I just saw a couple highlights. When did he... So he, Kyle Busch spun. Yeah. I don't know where he was running when this happened or what...
The lead...
So he was leading and spun.
He was leading, got a flat tire because the way they had the truck set up, it was rubbing on the left rear all night into the corner, like smoking bad. And it officially rubbed it flat. Well, he got a flat tire on the front, like on the around the, you know, the front straightaway, and was wheeling it and saving it. And then he got to the back straightaway and probably going 50 miles an hour, spun out. And so, yeah, everybody knows what happens. He spun it on purpose to get a caution. This was at the beginning of stage three. So he really pinned himself bad. He was screwed. And so, time went along, they fixed the truck. He got an immediate caution, got his lap back. From there, he came right back down pit road, fixed it a little bit more.
How did he go a lap down if he spun the truck from the lead?
Because he went a lap down fixing damage on pit road.
Oh, okay.
And so, they fixed it. He went back out there. There was a big wreck. And let me mention, Marcus Lemonis, who raced a grand total of no shortage of $1 million on Friday night. It seemed like every caution, there was a camping wheel truck crash.
I saw some highlights of that, yeah.
It seemed like every
caution. In a ball of fire.
Yes, there were some big wrecks Friday night. And so Kyle got the time to caution, got back on the lead lap, pitted, went all the way back to the back, and then drove up to the front, got to about 6th.
No shocker there.
The caution came out. It was the last... No, excuse me. He got up to, like, 3rd. Caution came up. It was the last restart. And John Hunter just drove away from him.
Yeah, good
him.
For
John Hunter. Yeah, Kyle wasn't even mad about it. His post-race interview was probably one of the best Kyle Busch interviews I've ever seen. He was so excited.
I mean, he
keyed up on the radio after the race and was like, hey, if they're doing victory lane interviews, make sure you give them a rowdy. And stuff, so he can
yeah. I mean,
he was so happy.
If I mean, I don't think Kyle Busch should have any reason to be mad if one of his trucks beats him. That he should be all for.
No,
that.
He was ecstatic. So, like he was ecstatic. Like it was like the interview on TV was so good, and he was just happy that you know Eric Phillips and John Hunter got a win, and KBM was good again.
Yeah,
and he did mention you know it'd be nice to get the third guy back up there. I think Eckes wrecked. Friday night, but yeah,
when
I mean,
that momentum starts to trickle down to the rest of the organization.
Yeah, he was ecstatic. Like he was very happy with the outcome. I thought he was going to be like a little mad and stuff. There was one point in the race where he keyed up on the radio and he said, "You know how you lose truck races? You effing self destruct and stuff." But it seemed like after that, he was like so he got out of the truck. He was so happy, and it was like It was like Kyle Busch.
Best case scenario for him if he's not going to win.
Because he's still making money regardless. Right.
And he, you know, the guy he put in the truck out of the Cup Series is back in victory lane, and you know, huge relief. I'm sure this is a huge sigh of relief off the shoulders of John Hunter Nemechek too.
Because his eyes were misty.
Nemechek, because this was a career move here, leaving the Cup Series to go back to the Truck Series because you are expected to win.
You know how
he's pulled it off.
You know how like risky it's got to be upstairs and then. You know, at the end of the year, I'm going to go all the way back downstairs.
Right, exactly. I'm working my way back down the basement.
So, big risk for John Hunter, but it seems to be paying off quick.
Yeah.
Just got to win a mile and a half. That's obviously the schedule's littered with those. So
to the controversy, the one thing I saw, Bob Pockrass asking Kyle Busch, you know, do you want to give us any insight? You know, obviously some people are going to question that spin. Nope. I'm sorry. Nope. You're not going to say anything? Nope. Okay, thank you.
I mean, what does Bob expect, really? I mean,
well, we saw what happened with Bubba last year when Bubba admitted to it, and NASCAR came down pretty hefty on him.
The last guy to light a fork and poke at NASCAR got fined a pretty hefty fine. Yeah. So what do you expect Kyle to do? And the thing is, people don't understand. And from the little time I spent at college in communication classes, is 90% of the time the reporter knows the answer to the question, you know, while he's asking it.
Right.
And Bob knows exactly what he did. But he's just trying to get, you know, a valid answer out of Kyle. And Kyle wasn't going to, you know, incriminate himself.
Right, yeah.
So he said nope. And people were like, oh, Kyle was being a douchebag. But the same reason that you're criticizing Kyle for saying no and calling him a douchebag is the same reason why y'all love him and want him to not change. This is why we have Kyle Busch. This is why he needs to be praised. Is because he's polarizing and he's not afraid to give you, like, the one-word takes and stuff. Like, I'm sure nope, nope, nope is going to be on a t-shirt soon.
Nope. Nope.
So I thought it was pretty funny that nope. I mean, what else is he supposed to do in that situation? No comment? Like, I mean, same thing. So, right. Yeah, that was a Friday night controversy, but wild truck race.
Yeah, so good for John Hunter Nemechek, and then we get to Saturday, and we've got the Xfinity race.
Did you watch that?
I did. I didn't watch that either.
There was three good races this weekend. You missed two of them.
Winner of the, well, what happened? Anything exciting happened? Run through what happened in that.
Well, Hemric led a lot of laps. He was the car to beat. Everybody thought Hemric was going to win and stuff. And I thought he had the car to beat too. I was like, oh man, this is finally going to be Hemric's day. They're just going to get to victory lane. And I don't know, just something at the end there just seemed like they just didn't have the speed on the long run or on the little short run there at the end, excuse me. And Allmendinger ended up pulling away there at the end and beating him, which is so gut-wrenching for Hemric because he's lost so many in this way. And you finally felt like it was Hemric's time, you know, to come up there and shine and finally get a win in JGR equipment. But it was very positive to see him leading a lot of laps and be right there in contention. One guy who surprised me who wasn't up there dominating was Gregson. Obviously started deep in the pack.
But still got a consistent top five. I mean,
he's top five.
I mean, can always peg Gregson to be in the top 10 or the top five.
Yeah, but I'm not going to lie. I thought he was going to come out there and dominate. I mean, he drove up. He gained like 18
now,
spots.
Now, he made some controversial, you know, statements too on social media throughout the week saying, you know, he's not backing down. This is who he is.
He is who he is. As long as people are talking.
So, you know, he's obviously got a lot of people talking as well. I bet Nick was on the edge of his seat waiting for that Daniel Hemric win from our good friends at Stock Car Spec, who we love their support and we support them. Did he say anything in the group chat?
Well, the thing, what sucked for Nick was he was working. So he
couldn't
watch.
Well, then maybe good. I guess it's good he didn't win because he was working.
Yeah, he couldn't watch. So he was keeping up with it on his app and he like texted us. He was like, did Hemric really win a stage? Like, is 18 really leading or is my thing like buffing or something like that? And yeah, Hemric was dumb fast. So
you got AJ Allmendinger getting the victory. Of course, I think everybody expected him to win at the road course, which he probably would have if that first stage hadn't have ended up in a wreck. So Allmendinger, though, finally, you know, he's got a win on an oval. You know, he's started to do a lot better on the ovals, and I mean, obviously, going to be a championship contender this year, and next week. At Phoenix, your boy's back in the race.
Yeah, Ty's back.
Ty going to make it two for two so far this year?
I don't know. Phoenix tough, but Phoenix is his favorite track.
That's a dangerous combination because we know that car is going to be fast.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody I'm a little bit disappointed in, and I just looked at the results, so I don't know the backstory of it, but I'm a little bit disappointed so far in Ty Dillon's performance so far this season.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened. I think he ended up wrecking.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, so what happened with him was... he went down into turn one and went over the bumps, like the tunnel bumps, and just got loose and started crashing. And he actually released something today, I believe.
But came back to finish top 12, I think, yeah, or 13.
Yeah, it sucks because you...
But the pressure's on him, too. Yeah, the pressure's really on him.
And, I mean, with Chris Gayle and Jacobs Equipment, it's going to be really hard not to, you know... I don't know. It's you don't have many excuses to not run well.
Right, exactly.
So, especially you, you when you got clean up. Especially you when you got an 18-year-old kid jumping in and winning, yeah, like with,
I mean,
ties.
That down, will make so, anybody nervous. Somebody else guy. Who I think is getting off to a slow start and getting outbeaten by his own cousin, really, a lot of the time, is Jeb Burton. Or is Harrison Burton. They're starting, yeah. I mean, they ended the season with like win, top five.
Harrison got dumped this week by Austin Cindric.
Oh, okay. So see, I'm a little bit behind.
Yeah.
But I think another top 10 for Jeb Burton. He started out the year four straight top 10 finishes. Strong. I'd love to see him in the final four. And I mean,
Farm Boy Strong.
I know Ward's got to be really happy. Ward, I think I did a really good impression there. I don't know that I've ever done it. I think Ward's got to be really happy.
Where's all the stickers on Ward, your call?
Ward's got to be so happy. And of course, Ward, an alum of For the Lead, and you know, we had a good talk down there with Jeb down in South Boston. It could be good to get back to South Boston.
It would be good to get back down to South Boston. It'd be good to have Ward back on the podcast.
Yeah, it would
talk
be.
About Jeb's progression this year. Maybe we should get him on here after Jeb gets a win. Because you know,
yeah, oh, that'd be awesome. And I saw Ward at Cheddar's.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he's down there at Cheddar's because yeah. You know, I'm just so happy for Jeb Burton, and he's putting together some. Better runs than Harrison, so yeah. You know there's got to be a little bit of rivalry there, yeah. And I know it's got to feel good when he can outrun you know his cousin when he can, and it'd be good to see them battle for a race win down the road this season.
Yeah, and I mean that's kind of inevitable to happen. I mean the Busch brothers have had their battles and stuff, and
it's kind of cool to see them now kind of together because Harrison's only 1 year in the Xfinity series, so it's cool to see them together because it's kind of like. Jeff and Ward were together when they were rookies.
Were they at different stages of their career though?
No, they, well, in the Cup Series, they started, both started as rookies.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and actually Ward got the first win that year as a rookie.
Oh, wow. Where at? Darlington?
Rockingham, I think. So, which I had completely forgotten about. Mm. I must have missed that, and I don't know how I missed that until I learned about it, looking at some stats. But, so good for, good for Jeb. So happy for him. Then we get to the Cup race at Vegas where, you know, I'm starting to believe a little bit this best season ever. NASCAR on Fox. Best season ever. This might just be the best season ever. I mean, was this the best race that I've seen in how long? Especially the first
stage. I was thinking back to the memorable mile and a half that I've seen since the 550 package. And what comes to my mind is Chicagoland 2019. You had the Bowman-Larson battle. Kentucky 2019, the Busch and Busch battle.
And these were at the end of the race. Yeah. The end of the races. So the end of the race, this race, wasn't as exciting as that because Larson had pulled out to a lead. There was no caution or anything. But the racing leading up to that last long run was
even
just
the last pit stop because Keselowski had a much better pit stop than Larson did. But this was hands down the best mile and a half I've seen.
I'm sitting here watching them race three wide by three wide for the lead
for laps, for multiple laps.
And it's like,
and Larson's on old tires,
right?
So I don't know. It seems like Vegas is a really good fit, and if we do eventually go back to a mile and a half, for the championship finale, I wouldn't be opposed to going to Vegas because they've put on a show.
I agree.
And the racing.
I think you got to put Vegas in the mix because I think we're eventually going to get there where it's a rotation. Every 2 years we go to a different. I think that's a good number. Every 2 years.
And it's the town too. You know, I mean, it's like it's Vegas. You want to go to big cities and all that. And we've touched on that, but.
And is Nashville going to potentially be? And forgot to throw this in the news.
I forgot to throw this
Nashville Fairgrounds. That's going to be back in a few years.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Do we eventually go to Nashville for the season finale, Super Speedway or Fairgrounds, because the banquet's in Nashville?
Yeah. I'd say the Fairgrounds would be amazing to see the finale.
So that's something that we'll update you more on next week on the podcast. But, you know, the race started. I was like, oh, boy, Chase is coming up through the traffic. I mean, boom. I mean, he took the lead, and, I mean, everything going smooth. And then they had a pit stop, got blocked in by Anthony Alfredo, got damage. And then I think they just made a bad decision to fix the damage. I mean, he almost won the stage, finished second to Keselowski. And then they go in and they fix the damage. He comes out, starts last, you know, basically spends the whole next stage trying to get up through the field. Then they start the next stage, gets back there in traffic, spins, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating day for Elliott, because you know he had a way better car than you know what the end result showed for. But they dropped the green flag, and when we got to turn three, Hendrick shot out about like a bat out of hell. I mean, you had Larson and Byron just blazing.
Oh, Hendrick, yeah.
Yeah, Hendrick. Just,
and Hemric.
Oh, no, Hendrick went out there and just, you know, blazed the field for the first half of the race. And obviously you had, you know, Gibbs was up there pretty strong. You had Hamlin and Truex up there. You know, that's pretty expected. And then you had Bell in the top five for a little bit.
And, I mean, everybody, I think, was shocked at the type of racing we were seeing. I mean, you heard Clint and Jeff and Mike Joey talk about it. I mean, usually you see this, like, for the first lap or two
after a restart. You know the restart's
and then it
crazy.
Just goes away. And they all fan out, single file, you know. Maybe some are on the top, some are on the bottom. But, I mean, I just was like, this was like, couldn't turn away from the TV.
Yeah, every groove of the track was being used. And, you know, there were comers and goers. And the two Penske's that were up there were Keselowski and Blaney, which it was nice to see Blaney get a good finish finally and stuff. So they were up there. You had Gibbs cars up there. And then you had Hendrick, you know, and really Larson just... And the whole knock on Larson since this 550 package came out was it does not suit his driving style. It takes his ability out of it. You know, he's not good at blocking and stuff. But he was three wide middle in that 3x3 for like three laps deal. And he held his ground and he drove away. And, and he made some amazing moves and stuff. So I really think, you know.
He's driving. He wants it.
Yeah.
He wants it.
He wants it. And the people around him want it, and he's got the equipment to do it now. So, kudos to him.
You know, Larson ended up obviously winning the race by, you know, a few seconds. And, I mean, what a
story.
You know, what a story. Obviously, this time last year, we're almost at the year mark. I mean, COVID started. This is almost the year anniversary of this. You know, Larson on a video game says, obviously made a huge mistake. Fired from Chip Ganassi Racing right after that, banned from NASCAR for the rest of the year, suspended, and then, you know, obviously gets redemption and gets a second chance from Hendrick Motorsports. And
who we all thought he was going to end up at all along.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of support. I mean, we were at Homestead, and there was a lot of support.
Oh, fan support,
I mean,
for sure. And
huge fan
support. I read this on Twitter yesterday, is... when Larson took the lead, the place erupted. And even Elliott fans stood up and was cheering for Larson. So people are certainly backing him in the stands. Now, the sponsorship dollars haven't not quite got there yet.
But now that he's got a win,
it's going to force sponsorships to make a play.
I mean, you want Hendrick cars on the car all the time? I mean, you know.
I think the pace is awesome.
I love it. And that was a tribute to Ricky Hendrick.
Yeah.
Rick Hendrick's son killed in a plane crash in Martinsville. I love that paint scheme. I want to get in that shirt. There's a really awesome shirt that I think you ordered.
Yeah.
From it's like the crew shirt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is that silky type of whatever it is?
Polyester type shirt. Yeah. Though.
That's just those colors. Looks good on him. The car looks amazing. The five car back in victory lane, and you know, I think this is good for the sport, and I think it's also, you know. It also says a lot for, you know, giving people second chances that, you know, they can be canceled and they can come through that and they can do the right things and they can make the best of a bad situation and make things right again. And that's what he's done.
Now, does this put the cap on the comeback, or is there more? Like, is there more to prove, or does this put the cap on, like, the, you know,
I think this puts the cap on the comeback behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Now,
there's still plenty of work to do off the track.
Yeah, and he's doing that behind the scenes. And it's like, you know, that's not something we all need to see.
No.
Like, we don't need to see that. Like, we, you know, if he goes to a camp or he goes to a youth home or, you know, whatever, like, we don't need, that doesn't need to be plastered everywhere.
And Larson doesn't plaster it. Nobody knew. I mean, it was one random day last year that somebody, you know, tweeted a picture. Hey, Larson's up here in Minnesota doing work for the George Floyd stuff. Like, he's not plastering it everywhere. But it's well documented the work that he's done for, you know, charities and stuff on his own time and taking the right steps and initiatives to better himself and stuff. So this completes the behind the wheel comeback. But you know, obviously there's way more to go behind the wheel. I think the wins are going to keep coming.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it could be. Yeah. He's going to, I mean, he's got a fourth race of the year. We talked about it a little bit. I mean, I see Kyle Larson. I potentially see Kyle Larson getting more wins than Chase this year. So, you know, I think he could easily win Bristol Dirt. Now he's all of a sudden got two wins out of the first, what, six races of the year?
Yeah.
Seven races of the year. I think he may lead Hendrick in wins this year. He's going to be in the final four this year.
Very well possible.
So, may not win the title, but, you know, I think this is going to be a huge year for him. I think this is going to be the best year he's ever had in the Cup Series.
It's got to be. And how they run this weekend will really be a tall tale sign of how they're going to, you know, really shake out throughout the season. Because, you know, going to Phoenix this weekend, we're going to be, you know, at one, we've gone to about one type of every track that we're going to see. So, and he's done well at all of them, obviously.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that shakes out. Phoenix is a good track for him.
It's got to feel good for him, too, to be in finally, like, top equipment, that the car is doing what you want it to do.
Yeah, to know that your talents can be matched with the ability, like, with your equipment, you know, with the mechanical side of it, that it's there. The people are there, and he touched on that and said, you know, the people over at Hendrick are just so amazing, and it's really paying off, and it's really showing. And I even think his driving, like, style has changed slightly. Like, he's just smarter behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. He doesn't put himself in as much risky situations. There hasn't been many times this year where I've seen him rip the top. Homestead, I don't think he really was ripping the top like that. Yesterday, he was hugging the white line.
Well, and I think he had to do those things because it was a situation where he was trying to get more out of the equipment than he could. And he doesn't have to do that as much now. Yeah. So let's run through kind of where drivers finish, talk a little bit about some of the finishing order. So obviously Kyle Larson gets the win, Brad Keselowski second. Again, this is kind of like a typical Brad Keselowski year to me. I mean, he's going to get a bunch of top fives, bunch of top tens, going to throw in a win or two. So, Brad, I don't see anything different. I see he's on track to have a typical Brad Keselowski year. Your boy finished top five. He complained the whole race and then got up to the top five. Crazy. Kyle Busch in third.
And what sucks is that it takes the 18 guys the whole entire race up until the last 80 laps to get the handling right where he needs it. And from there, he's just able to get up to third.
When in the past, they just get all that done in practice.
Right. And that's the frustrating part. I still think we're missing a bit of speed. We're the only Gibbs car to not lead a lap this year.
I think Gibbs in general is missing a bit of speed. And I think they started to, Kyle aside, last year, I think toward the last half dozen races, they started to lose a lot.
Well, then he started
speed.
To level off for sure. I mean, but they're still very much in contention. They still showed that they're very strong as a whole.
Truex, though, I think is you know, he's not as dominant as you expected. Look at the road course and what happened there. You know, last week, just, you know, this week, it's not a, you typically expect Truex to be up there and leading a bunch of laps, and that, what he, you know, he led six laps at this race. So, and he ended up sixth in the race. So Denny Hamlin was fourth. And again, you know, Denny Hamlin just throwing consistency there. He's you know, just going to crank out top tens. I mean, he hardly ever wrecks a car, it seems.
Denny?
Like. Yeah, Denny doesn't seem to wreck.
Denny discipline. I mean, he knows how to wheel it around and take care of his stuff.
Good to see Ryan Blaney get a top five. What I want to see is I want to see them build on that.
Yeah, he needs
so
that.
I don't want this to be like a top five and then they go another three races without getting a top ten.
Yeah.
So they need to you know, we're going to throw Bristol out of this. Bristol's not going to be part of this equation when we look at the stats, because that's a whole different thing. But they need to take that top five and you know, continue that. But it was good. That helps him in qualifying for the next week. You know, you don't get yourself dug in such a hole. He started 26th at Vegas, so he had to climb up from there, but came through the field much better. You know, obviously didn't come through the field at all at Homestead last week, so good to see him. Christopher Bell, again, JGR, put all the cars in the top 10.
All four of us in the top 10.
You know, he ran a solid race. I mean, that's a race shoot. That's a finish you'd expect somebody to have first year at Gibbs. You know, getting his understanding everything. No practice, only second year in Cup. So, of course, he's already got the win. Off the win last week, William Byron finished eighth, and he had, you know, he showed big signs of at the front of the field.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
led
speed
25
sure.
laps,
yeah.
I think. So
yeah, he definitely had some speed yesterday.
So, you know, they just kind of missed it on the long run there. And somebody who I think is struggling too, that we're starting to see, and Phoenix is going to be a really good indicator, struggled at Homestead and struggled really the second part of this race, you know, Joey Logano.
One of his tracks.
Of course, struggling, but finishing ninth. But, you know, Joey Logano is not happy with that. I can tell you that right now, especially when your teammate's up there finishing second and fifth. So he seems to be struggling a little bit. And I think, you know, I saw a quote from him. They're off, and they just don't know where they're off. And they got to figure that out.
Exactly what I was going to say. It just seems like they're just missing a little bit to get them where they usually are.
You know, here's a spotlight of the race. Eric Jones in Petty's equipment.
Top 10.
Hit the wall and still finished top 10. Oh, yeah. So, great run for Eric Jones, especially on a mile and a half. You'd expect Petty to be better on restrictor plates and short tracks.
Yeah.
And so Jones on a mile and a half getting a top 10 finish. Ricky Stenhouse, you know.
That's an interesting finish right there at 11th for Stenhouse.
Did you think that's good or bad?
Good for him.
Yeah, it's good for him. Yeah, I mean, normally you'd expect him that he'd be like, you know, normally...
close to 19.
He's just not... I mean, that's not... I just don't ever see that being a consistently top 10 car.
No.
They got work to do over there. I mean, he's getting outrun in most races by his teammate, Ryan Preece, who has... completely turned the year around, because last year he hit the wall head on every time, it seemed.
Yeah, it seemed like he was crashing every week.
So Austin Dillon finished 12th. I mean, he was up there around the top 10 again. You know, I think the three car, the one thing I'm seeing the three car do this year that hasn't done in years past is it's having more speed at the beginning of the season. They seem to pick up speed toward the end and start to be competitive. I'm seeing a lot more of that toward the beginning of this year. They didn't lose a lot, I think, from their good runs they had at the end of last year, which is good to see.
And I saw him say that they started 12th, finished 12th, and they're 12th in points, so consistent at least.
Right. You know? Chase Elliott obviously got up to the lead, led 22 laps of the race, but then had obviously the problem, spun. Got back up to 13th, though. Actually, you know, gained a spot in the points.
Pretty encouraging.
Yeah, but,
you know he's going to be a threat, so whatever.
You keep telling me Chase is going to win every week, and he's not won. And it's like, Chase is going to win. Don't worry, he's fine.
He's fine.
I'm in panic mode. Fire Allan Gustafson.
Oh, God.
Get Cliff Daniels in there. Oh, not standing for this. Chase's got to be going, what the hell is going on here? I mean, Willie B and Larson have wins, and I'm sitting here like the third guy now. I got a championship. Chris Buescher, you wondered if last week was a fluke, and we'll see, you know, over the next few weeks. But again, they couldn't bring that speed back to the track again for Roush. Ryan Preece, 15th. The top 15 for Ryan Preece. I mean, he's top 10 or something in the points we'll look at in a minute. So good run for him. Finally, a top 20 finish for Matt DiBenedetto.
God. And they... I mean, top 20.
Yeah, he went off on Twitter, too. He was so mad about it. I mean, then he sent an apology tweet, and, you know, so.
But they needed that, though.
Yeah.
Way better than what they have been finishing.
Your Daytona 500 champion, Michael McDowell, finished top 20 for him. I mean, that's a normal finish for McDowell, I feel like. So it's back to normal now. Honeymoon is ended.
Back to reality.
And you know, Ryan Newman, 18th. Again, that's kind of a normal Newman finish based on what we saw last year. Was a little bit disappointed in Kurt Busch. I had him as my pick in our little point standings, and he was up there for a little while, but then kind of faded, finished 19th. So I think he's somebody that is really getting more out of the equipment than trying to get more out of it. He's trying to do what Larson has done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't see – and Kurt's going to be leaving it, whether it's after this year or if it's after next year. I think the Ganassi team – is going to be in trouble. And I don't know. I mean, I've been disappointed, and we'll, I don't even see him on the list here, but we'll find him. And I'm not disappointed, but I feel like I heard more about Ross Chastain when he was running starting parks than I have when he's running the 42 car.
Yeah.
You had Kevin Harvick. I think that's another surprise. The first Stuart Haas car we've gotten to?
Yes, and I want to touch on Stuart Haas Racing, because I feel like for the last couple of years.
Yeah, before you do that, let me just run through. So, Stuart Haas finishing 20th with Kevin Harvick, 21st with Chase Briscoe, 25th with Cole Custer, and then into the wall goes Eric Almirola. He finished the race dead last. So, go.
So, the last few years, and I've said it, and it's, you know, it's kind of been like you know, the monkey in the room. But Stewart Haas Racing, without Kevin Harvick's success, there's been a wound there. Eric Almirola, Clint Bowyer, obviously Cole Custer came along last year, got kind of lucked up into a win, you know, whatever. But, you know, with Harvick struggling, it kind of takes the Band-Aid off of the, takes the Band-Aid off and exposes the wound. I mean, you know, granted, he got a top five finish, you know, last week at Homestead, but was nowhere near contention, kind of just drove it up through there and got a top 10. Yesterday, obviously had something, you know, go wrong, got a flat or whatever, and, you know, finished 20th. But even with that, I mean, it's hard. You can't rely on, you know, your teammates. You can't lean on them when they're running 21st, 25th, and dead last. You know, you're not gaining much off of them. And they're not getting much off of you, clearly, even when you're winning 9 races a year, because they're nowhere near you. And so, you know, Stewart Haas Racing without Harvick, or without Harvick's success, they're in trouble. They got some work to do. And that's kind of, you know,
it's, you know, Harvick has managed to finish top 10, I think, in every race but this one, right? Am I right about that
right,
so far
but he's
this
been
year?
Nowhere
but he's not led laps. He's not dominated like we've seen the last few years. I mean, what year was it? Was it 2018 or something that Harvick won the second, the third, and the fourth race, 3 wins in a row?
Yeah.
And of course, last year led the series in wins. I think that they're finally, and this every team has this too, is you're dominant for a while, and then you finally get. And he said it about Jimmy Johnson, that horseshoe or that silver horseshoe stuck up his rear. I mean, Harvick is, you know, we've not seen Harvick really struggle at Stewart Haas.
Well, yeah.
I think it's like the odds are going to catch up with him.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that, you know, he's carried the weight of that whole entire organization on his race wins and on that four car. And now that the four car is not, you know, necessarily doing that, it's like, oh.
Yeah,
and now it really just shows you the flaws of the entire organization, because when you got one guy having 9 wins,
right,
and you're like, oh man, Stewart Haas Racing, but then you look down the list and, you know, the guy, other guys are in a totally different zip code.
So is this the year we see Rodney Childress leave Kevin Hart? I mean, obviously we're 4 races in, so we're getting ahead of ourselves, but a bad year, a no win, a 1-year win. I mean, look what happened with Kyle last year. I mean, you know, is Rodney Childress the guy until Harvick retires?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point. They've got a lot.
Or does he go to one of these other teams?
Well, they've got two young guns in the stable. So
I'm not thrilled about any of these drivers they have.
I mean, if you got two young guns in the stable, if you're going to remove Rodney and put him with somebody, I think you put him with Briscoe. I think he's the more promising out of the two.
That makes sense.
So, I mean, I think you have a case there. Whether it happens or not, it's to be determined. See how they run, you know, the rest of the year. Of course, we say that, and then Harvick's going to go out and win Phoenix.
Yeah, Harvick wins Phoenix and goes on.
And then, you know, whatever. So, but
Chase Briscoe wins the dirt race.
Yeah, and it is a valid point to be made, because when Harvick's not doing well, you got to look at him organizationally, and nobody. I mean, when Kyle was struggling, Hamlin was out there winning 7 races. Truex was up there finishing, you know, second X amount of weeks.
I don't know that we're going to have that this year. I don't know that we're going to have Hamlin. I don't know that we're going to have 2 drivers.
Well,
I think Larson could win a bunch of races, and that may be the only one.
The interesting thing is everybody at the end of last year said, well, you know, next year's it's going to be the exact same. You're bringing, you know, nobody's, you know, building new parts.
Something's happened.
It's going to be the exact same, and it really just hasn't been that way.
And somebody made a comment, like, they don't know, are some of these teams just kind of making this a throwaway year and starting to just focus on the new car next year?
I think you'll see that. I think you'll see that more towards the middle of the season. See what teams are kind of, you know,
the ones
tanking.
That miss the playoffs, especially.
Yeah, the ones that are going to be not have a shot in contention. I mean, I think that's when you really start to see the guys start to tank a little bit. But like Eric Almirola, man, like dead last.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's been the consistent figure at Stewart Haas. Got over stricter plate win in what I feel like was a rigged race. You know, for them, you know, it's like they just. You know, they got up there and they protected the lead. Nobody could do anything. And, you know, I don't feel like Eric Almirola has ever gotten a real win in NASCAR. But he's been the consistent one who's always in the top 10. And I was wondering, when is the year going to happen where he finally falls off the map? And it seems like it's happening this year.
Yeah. I mean, bad finish. I mean, obviously made a horrible move, cleared himself off the nose of the 12 at Homestead, and then I can't quite remember how he hit the wall or what exactly happened yesterday.
He blew a tire and hit the wall. Blew a left front tire and hit the wall. So,
yeah. And it seemed like Stewart Haas was having left front issues yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what went flat on Harvick's car too. So,
Running through,
yikes.
Running through some of the other lists. Tyler Reddick again. You know, Homestead, he got that, but was that a fluke because he was running the top? You know, still, this is a very, from what I mean, talented race car driver, and you got to wonder, is his home really going to be RCR for the foreseeable future? I think he feels like he has too much talent to be running mid pack.
But where does he go? I mean, where's there a plug in?
Where does he go?
Where does he plug into?
That's the question. Some other notables, Daniel Suarez up there in 26. Alex Bowman had a problem. I think he had a tire going down. Yeah. Almost caused a wreck there at the end of the race. He finished 28th. Bubba Wallace, green flag drops, and he's kind of already in the pits with the hood up. I guess it was a power steering issue for him. So 28th place finish for Bubba. I don't think he's had a top 20th so far this
year. Every week
with this
just continues to be a reality check.
You know, exactly. I mean, this goes back to these expectations of we're going to make the chase, we're going to win multiple races, and you haven't had a top 20 finish yet. So you put all this pressure on yourself, and so I can't blame anybody but the ones who put it on themselves for that. I mean, this was going to be a trying year, and you know, they could very well, I wouldn't be surprised if he finished top 10 at Phoenix because it's more of a short track, and you know, he seems to run better there and or on short track races. But people are getting impatient based on what they heard leading up to this
season. I thought this alliance was supposed to be closer to JGR than Levine was.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, right. People are starting to get very impatient about what's going on here. And I guess the rest were kind of just, we don't need to get into.
What happened to Corey LaJoy?
He finished 37th. I'm not sure. Rear end issues, but. You know, I don't think we need to run through the Garrett Smithley and Quinn Huffs of the world during this race, but. No. Take a look at the point standings, kind of look at that and see who's in trouble. I mean, the names are there. Hamlin leading, and Brad Keselowski second. Kyle Larson obviously locked in with a win. He's in third. Chase Elliott fourth in the points. Christopher Bell locked in with a win. He's fifth. Joey Logano is in sixth. Kevin Harvick seventh. Truex eighth. McDowell locked in with a win. He's ninth. Kurt Busch up there in tenth. You got Byron locked in. He's 11th. Austin Dillon. Ryan Preece up there, and this is somebody who doesn't have a charter. Kyle Busch up to 14th. Ryan Blaney, 15th. Chris Buescher, 16th. Like, I just gave you the top 16, and it's like, is that the top 16?
I mean, you look down the list. I mean, I see Bowman down there.
Bowman,
he's not in the
Bowman,
right now.
Maybe. Bowman gets in. I could see Ryan Preece not getting in. I mean, can you really picture Ryan Preece not getting a win and making the top 16? I don't know, but I mean,
it's tough.
Like, I look at all these names that I just feel like are not going to make it unless they get a win. And it's Stenhouse, it's Cole Custer, it's Bubba Wallace, it's Ryan Newman, it's Chastain.
Well, you got to count two wins for Bubba there in 20th.
Right. Yeah. Tyler Reddick, Eric Jones. I mean, Chase Briscoe,
Ross Chastain,
Eric Almirola is 28th in the points. Matt DiBenedetto again down there. Like, it's like, do you see any of these drivers getting a win that are below 16?
If you're Eric Almirola, if you're Matt DiBenedetto, there's no way you can point your way this year. There's absolutely no way. You've put yourself in too big of a hole. That, I mean, you look at the list of winners who we've had so far. Obviously, four different winners. I think we're going to see a fifth different winner this weekend. You know, it's going to be tough. I mean, I don't think that you can be, what is it? Scroll down the list right now and you see, where are we at here? Matt DiBenedetto in 30th, Eric Almirola in 20th. There's no way, in my opinion, that you can leapfrog all the way up and point your way up to at least 16. You know, it just seems too big of a hill to climb with the guys.
So if you're betting, if somebody makes you bet, does Chris Buescher get a win this year?
No.
Does Ricky Stenhouse get a win this year if you had to bet on it?
No.
Does Bowman? I'd say yes. Does Cole Custer?
No.
Does Bubba?
Nope.
Does Newman?
No, but I think if we're talking about this list, 17th through 25th, I think Newman would be the one to point his way in.
Newman would be the one to point his way in. Chastain?
No.
But to play little devil's advocate, I could see Stenhouse winning a restrictor plate track.
Any of these guys could win a restrictor
plate. I could see Bubba winning a restrictor plate track, you know, with Denny pushing him to the checkered flag. I could see Newman winning a restrictor plate track. I could see Ross Chastain winning a restrictor plate race. I could see Eric Jones winning a restrictor plate race. So, only two more of those left, though.
Yep.
Two more opportunities to do that. I think we're closing in on already the field of 16 minus one driver. I'm gonna say this. I think you look at the top 16 in points, and only one driver, when this is all said and done, is going to be new. Somebody's going to go out. One person's going to come in. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be Priest.
I mean, looking at the list right now, that would be the immediate guy to jump to. But you never know how Kyle Busch is going to do. You never know how Blaney's going to do. There's a lot of guys
in
there.
I think it could be two. I think it's going to be Priest and Buescher. So I think they're fighting for. I think we're fighting for two spots
here. Yeah.
And I think you could easily see Bowman and Newman. Bowman and Reddick, if he turns things around. So I think, let me correct myself. I think two spots are going to change, and we've already got it.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the list right now, I mean.
Based on who's won this year and how that's kind of changed the dynamic, because Bell wasn't in last year, Larson wasn't in last year, McDowell wasn't in last year, and I could have easily made the argument that Byron was going to be a cutoff driver this year fighting to get in. So, and they're all in.
Yeah, I don't think you can, take Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and say that they're not going to make it.
No, or Chase. I mean, absolutely not.
Yeah, they're going to get their
Now, I could see potentially a Kurt Busch having just falling off the map and not getting in.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. But, Kurt has proven he's been a pretty consistent, solid driver.
Yeah,
I would give him the nod over, Priest, but... it should be interesting to see how it's going to shake down.
I mean, Ryan, but Blaney, though, has got to keep, that's what I'm talking about, Blaney. He's got to keep that performance up because two or three bad races from more races early on and he's in a hole.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I see Blaney getting a win before the playoffs.
I mean,
if I'm honest with you.
If he doesn't win on a restrictor plate track, then it's
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I see that. I think Blaney is, I just feel like he's the kind of driver that's going to win a couple races, go a couple years without a win, win a couple races. I don't see him.
And I hope it isn't that way.
I agree, but based on what I've seen and the inconsistency, mm-hmm. It's just he's not showed me that he's going to consistently be fighting for victories.
Right.
Thought we were going to see that when last year started, and then it kind of fell off the map. So looking at our little point standings thing that we have, you see, I told you, you're starting to pull away. It's over.
It's only three to one right now.
It's gonna be over.
It's 3-1. I think you'll get me this week.
So you picked.
I picked the 22 for.
And I
for
picked
Vegas.
Kurt Busch, and so you got me. So it's 3-1. I get to pick first this week. I'm going for the W. I need a win. I'm not gonna fall behind anymore.
And if you get a win, then it's tied up.
That's right. Well, that's true too.
Or if the driver gets the win, it's tied up.
We haven't done that. Nobody's won yet. So actually, one won the race.
Right.
But I'm going. I can't fall any farther behind, or I'm going to lose my mind. So I'm going Chase Elliott, and I'm also picking Chase to win the race.
Fair pick. I'm going to go with Michael McDowell.
So you're going with Matt. Have you not picked McDowell?
I haven't picked McDowell.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Looking back at the board here. I don't think I picked McDowell. No, it says I picked the 22, the 8, the 19, and the 21.
Okay.
So, I'm good.
So you're McDowell. Going McDowell. If McDowell finishes
Chase
ahead of Chase,
problem,
Chase is wrecked. McDowell finishes ahead. It's over for me. What do you think we're going to see at Phoenix?
It's going to be interesting. This is – we come back here and race for the championship in, 9 months. So big emphasis on this week for everybody. But I think you're going to see your typicals up there. I think Denny Hamlin is going to be really good. I think Gibbs is in general is pretty strong at Phoenix. They need more speed, though. So I expect to see Hendrick to continue to be
really
good.
Chase won the last race pretty dominant for the season finale. I'm going to be very surprised, disappointed if he's not top five.
Yeah,
Chase doesn't finish top five this week, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
I think ones to watch is Stuart Haas. Stuart Haas... this week is see how they perform. And that trickles down into what our fuel for thought was going to be is, Stuart Haas as an organization, if Harvick's struggling this year, then, that wound over the whole organization really shows because, yes, they do have two young drivers. But, finishing in the 20s and stuff and, where they do is not going to cut it. I mean, with the conversation last year was Custer versus Bell versus Reddick. And I'm not sure if it was a fair battle, given what ride that Bell was in. But then you plug Bell into a top tier ride like the other two were in, and Bell's doing pretty good for himself. So I don't know. I think the fuel for thought is Stuart Haas Racing, with the Band-Aid removed off of them. That is the four car. what are they organizationally and what are they in the future? Because it's not looking too great.
Right.
So, to be determined.
Yeah, we're still four races in, but that was this week's Fuel for Thought. Anything else before we wrap it up?
No,
Who's your pick to win Phoenix?
My pick to win Phoenix?
Like, your real pick?
Yeah, it's hard not to go with a Hendrick car.
I mean, does Larson go on a tear? Does he win two in a row?
I don't know.
Does Bowman win and then Chase has yet to win for Hendrick?
I could definitely see that. I think Brad Keselowski's going to win.
So you think Keselowski's going to win Phoenix? He was pretty good there. Obviously, he finished second there.
Tracks like Phoenix and Richmond really, and New Hampshire came to his liking last year. So he got wins at all those, minus Phoenix. But
very good.
That's my pick.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up the podcast for this week. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Subscribe on YouTube and let us know what you think. We appreciate it.